tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Real connections and absolutely no filter. Welcome, everybody, to another day of the Common Ground. Today's episode is one of the most important I've ever done. I'm diving deep into the history and strategy behind black ghettos, redlining, gerrymandering, and the ongoing fight to suppress black and brown political power, especially in states like Texas. But we won't end there, because we'll end on power, on purpose, on how your voices still matter more than ever. So let's get into it. So if y'all have not been paying attention for the past few weeks, for a few months, Donald Trump has been saying to the Texas governor that he needs to find five seats he wants to find. So how is he gonna find those five seats, right? The only way he could do it is by gerrymandering, redistricting the whole Texas voting block, right? The whole Texas voting block. The only way. And something I never knew that when I was watching the news and I would see they'll say that you're supposed to do that, like if you're going to do gerrymandering, you're supposed to do it according to the census every 10 years, right? I never knew that's how the actual was supposed to do, but now these people want to break the dagging rules, right? Because if y'all are not paying attention, and you don't see what's going on right now, right? You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump is not very favorable right now. It might be favorable, again, amongst his base, right? His hardcore base, yeah. But the average, like, Republican people that, yeah, they voted for Donald Trump, but they're not really a MAGA type of people, but they still voted for him, right? So he's afraid that they're going to lose the midterm election, because he knows if he loses the midterm, right, if the Senate and the House for the Democratic Party gets the midterm election, win the midterm, they're going to be going after Donald Trump. They're probably going to be blocking a lot of things that he's trying to do. You know what I mean? It's bad enough. He has this so-called big, beautiful bill, right? The big, bad bill that passed, that's going to, by 2027, is going to kick a lot of people off this social network program. Okay, if you're not paying attention, if you're living in the ghetto, if you're living in a trailer park, if you're poor, period, right? That bill is going to kick a lot of people off their social network program. SNAP benefits is going to be either reduced or go away. Medicaid. You know what I mean? Kick a lot of people off the things that people need for the kids. Even like hospitals right now are struggling because of that. You know what I mean? In a rural area are struggling because of that. But anyway, right? Before I get all into that, let's do a little history lesson right about now. I love to learn about different things when I do my research, right? Let's talk about the post-slavery segregation tactic, right? So, after emancipation, free black families moved to cities to seek opportunities, right? So, when you think about it, right? Back then, emancipation happened, slavery is over with, and the free black people, all they want to do is just to be left alone. Leave us alone, let's go ahead, make money, take care of our family. That's all they want to be. I don't want y'all to bother us, you know what I mean? But the powers to be back then and the KKK and all this stuff did not want to allow the free black folks who just got out of slavery to have nothing. No matter how hard these people try, right? No matter how hard these black folks tried, right? Tried to do the best just to keep their head down and do what they need to do just to take care of the Dagon family, man. And the Dagon, these racist people, all the ones, excuse me, all the ones do is to keep these people down. I'm telling you, right? So cities responded with housing segregation ordinances, zoning laws, and restrictive covenants, right? So let's get into that. So after emancipation, free black folks moved to cities to seek opportunities, right? And opportunity is like they want to start their own business, create their own stuff, create their own neighborhoods, right? But the banks and all that stuff did not want to lend black people money. Because they think, oh, if I lend people money, you know what I mean? Then I can pay back the loan or do or whatever they were thinking in the mind back in those days, right? So what they started doing, they say, you know what though? The white folks start complaining and say, you know what, I don't want these damn black people around me. You know? So what they started doing, they started redlining different neighborhoods, right? They started creating zoning laws. You know what I mean? Keep the black people over there in these really poor neighborhoods, keep them that way, and let them do whatever they need. They don't need to be over here with us. You understand me? That's all that they want it to be, right? Just keep the black people poor in the ghetto. So these policies, right, the South Korean policies, right, the power to be, the Congress, right, started to create policies to keep black folks down. You know what I mean? Those KKK members, former KKK, those duplicate KKK, they put on the white sheets and start putting on student tie. They put on the white sheets and started having a badge and a gun. Think about that, right? They put the white sheets down, you know what I mean? Because they figured that's the way they're going to really control these black people, right? By creating policies to keep them down. You understand me, right? So, this laid the foundation for what we know now as the urban ghettos. You know what I mean? The redlining, all that, the zoning laws, the zoning, all of that crap laid the foundation of what we know as the ghetto today. You know what I mean? They want to keep us bad, keep us poor, so we don't have nothing. That's how I look at it. Because they don't want black folks in general as a whole to have nothing. You know what I mean? Because they know if black people in America could really stick together, and create their own communities, things could change for a lot for black folks. And the thing about black people, right, despite of what they have been through, when it comes to white folks, right, despite of what they have been through, black people in as a whole aren't a revengeful type of group of people. We're not like that. You know what I mean? A lot of us love to serve our God. You know what I mean? Love to praise the Lord. And a lot of us are forgiving bunch of people, right? We just want to be left alone. And even if you don't want nothing to do with us, that's fine. Just leave us alone. You do you and we do us. You know what I'm saying? We take care of our family the best way that we can, right? So as time went on, the Great Migration. So after a while, right, from 1916 to 1970 now, over 6 million black Americans moved from the South to the North. You understand me? Because as we know, right, back then, even especially in the South, how they treated black people back then in the South, right? A lot of lynching that was going on in those days. You know what I mean? And so black people is just fed up. And plus, probably was harder to get jobs in the southern part of the country versus going to the North, places to like Chicago, those type of places where jobs probably were more plentiful, places like Detroit back then, especially when the auto industry came to Detroit. You know what I mean? A lot of black people started moving from the South because, you know what I mean? The economy was messed up. You understand me? It was messed up. So northern cities, right, welcome the labor, but push them into overcrowded, neglected neighborhoods, even in the north, right? Even in the north part of the country. They put, they still keep black people in the overcrowded part of the ghetto, right? Yeah, I'm gonna employ you. I'm gonna hire you. But I still want you to hang with us. Be near us. You know what I mean? So even then, you know what I'm saying, the white folks, yeah. And some of the white folks too came from the south, right? Their family members too, right? Their family, their grandparents, their parents probably moved from the damn south too, and they still have that mentality as well. Mm-hmm. They still have that mentality of you look, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to hire you, but guess what? I don't want you to be near me. You know what I'm saying? Live near me, all the stuff, right? Because even back then, the power was thinking that, you know what I'm saying, black people moving our neighborhood, our neighborhood's going to go down. You know what I'm saying? Back then, white folks didn't want to be close to black folks. As soon as black people started to move into some of these neighborhoods, you know what I mean? The white folks start moving out. The white people start moving out. And now, guess what they're doing? They're moving back in. You know what I'm saying? Look at what's going on in Harlem right now. They are re-gentrifying Harlem, New York. You know what I mean? You know, Harlem was at one time like the ghetto and all that stuff, right? So when black people started moving into Harlem, New York, the white folks move out because they want to be close to the black folks. Now, over time, black people started doing good within their neighborhood. And these people started thinking, damn, Harlem getting better. Let me start buying these homes, right? And they're buying these homes and pricing some of these people out of their own neighborhood, man. Do you think that's right? Pricing these people out of their own neighborhood. Okay, so great migration, right? So the ghettos weren't accidental. They were engineered. Think about it, right? The ghettos across America, the black ghettos, they were engineered to keep black people in their place. It was. You know what I mean? No matter how hard we try as black people as a whole, right? No matter how hard black folks try, they still couldn't get a hand up because they always want to keep us down, right? Not all white folks are like that, though. Some of them are actually good white people, right? They really are good white folks out there. But for the mass, right? For the mass, especially a lot of them that's in Congress. You know what I mean? That's in Congress right now. They create laws, they create policies. You know what I'm saying? Create laws and policies to try to keep the black folks down, man. That's why as black people, I don't give a damn if you are American, a Jamaican, an African, Haitian, wherever you're from, right? As black folks in this country, we need to start paying attention to see what's going on, man. Because if not, we'll... We're going to always be left behind. Okay? So, as time went on, right, zoning laws created invisible barriers, right? Zoning laws. So, single-family zoning laws kept apartment and public housing out of white areas. Think about it, right? They start zoning, start creating these lines across and say, okay, this is going to be the ghetto right here. You know what I mean? We're not going to invest no money in this area right here. Keep the black people over here. That's what they want. Keep the black folks over here. You know what I mean? On. So these laws quietly ensured segregation long after legal Jim Crow ended, right? Even after the Jim Crow laws ended, right? They still to create policies to keep us away, keep us down, keep us in the ghetto. You know what I mean? They create all this stuff to keep us down. And I'm going to tell you even something that I think about too, right, sometimes, right? And I really believe too. One thing is the welfare system. You know what I mean? That a lot of us are black people are on, right? These stat benefits. I really believe it's actually designed to keep your donors bill. I really believe that. Because, you know, you get a few food stamps, a few checks, so you know what I mean, some checks, whatever, you go keep and not do the uprising. See what I'm saying? These people know what the hell they're doing when they created the food stamps and all that crap. Right? I really believe it was designed to keep our black asses down. You know what I mean? So, policy replaced overt racism with coded exclusion. You know what I'm saying? Policy replaced all of that stuff. Right? These people don't care. You know what I mean? They don't care to keep it down. Keep it down. So now, let's talk about the ghetto tax. So, black residents paid higher prices to rent, groceries, insurance, and credit. Think about it, right? You're a black person in the country. You know what I mean? And you're going to pay more prices on your rent in the ghetto, right? In the hood. You know what I mean? When those damn apartments should be cheap, right? But, excuse me. They want you to pay real high prices. Go into the damn grocery stores. Damn, a pack of beef so damn expensive. I call them damn milk. So a gallon of milk is so damn expensive. You know what I mean? Call the eggs so damn expensive. We could barely afford those type of damn things, right? And that's all they wanted. They don't care. Because I really believe if the government really care, they could really figure out a way to bring down the price of groceries, man. They could really do it if they really want to, but they do not care. You know what I mean? Because it's not affecting them. It's not affecting their daggone family. So they don't care if we starve or not. You understand me? These people do not care. So being poor in a ghetto is more expensive than being rich in the suburbs. Think about it, right? Being poor in the ghetto is more expensive than being rich in the suburbs, right? You know what I mean? Because those suburb people, right, suburbians, a lot of them, you know what I mean, probably pay less in taxes. You know what I mean? The groceries aren't like us, like our groceries in the hood. So I'm saying? In the black neighborhood, all that crap. So now, the white flight and public disinvestment. Let's talk about that for a second. So, as black populations increase, white families fled to the suburbs. Hear that? As black population increase, the white people, when they start moving up to the suburbs, right? Because they want to get away from black folks. They think black people are troublemakers, right? They think we with this, we commit crimes with this and that. You know what I mean? All that stuff. So they wanted to get away from us. The government followed the money, leaving black neighborhoods with crumbling schools and public services, right? Think about it, right? The government started following away where these rich, these middle class white people moved to, right? The government started investing in those type of schools for the middle class folks and leave the poor black schools to fend for themselves. You know what I mean? To fend for themselves. And you can talk about the federal government all you want, right? Because the federal government do allocate money to each state, right? And a lot of times you have to blame your governors. Your governor of the damn state, they don't give a damn, right? Right, because they're going to allocate most of their money in the rich white neighborhood, right? Instead of invest in the poor black neighborhoods. And you know, and the thing about it, right? Even in the poor black neighborhood, the poor neighborhood, they got white people in the poor neighborhoods too. And they don't even invest money in those poor dagger neighborhoods, right? All of that crap. So I'm saying? So yeah, the government, they're all of that, right? They're going to invest money in the suburbs, make those schools look good. But the poor neighborhood, the poor school that needed school books, all of that stuff, all those things. They like neglect those type of people. They neglect them. That's why, you know what I'm saying, representation does matter. That's why we need to start, make sure we put people in the office that's going to look out for the people from the ghetto, man. You know what I'm saying? And I hate it when Joe Biden was running for president, right? At the time. And y'all start to say something about the middle class, right? Forget all that. What about the poor people? I hate when he used the word, when he used to say middle class. I hate that. I hate that with a passion. I got to be honest with you. If they say poor people, man. You know what I'm saying? People are poor. Shit. Stop being politically correct. So I'm saying I hate that crap. People are poor, they're poor. You know what I mean? Start using poor. They're middle class. Trust me, the poor people need it the most. Yeah. So, this was not just racism at the time, right? It was zoning, politics, and economic abandonment. Economic abandonment. Because they abandon the people that live in the hood, the ghetto. You know what I'm saying? Not only the poor black ghettos, believe it or not, they were the white ghettos too. Because they have white ghettos across America too. Let's be real about that, right? The trailer park, right? In the trailer park. You know what I'm saying? There are white ghettos, black ghettos, all of that crap. See what I'm saying? And even those people were left in the dark, left to fend for themselves. You know what I mean? Poor white folks, the poor black people. All that crap. So time went on, right? The role of public housing. So projects like Cabrini Green and Pruitt Eagle were overcrowded, neglected, and intentionally underfunded, right? Those type of projects, right? Pre-building projects. When you go to that place like New York City, you see a big old project building and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's a lot of times deemed unsafe, you know? And it was overcrowded in those apartments and underfunded. You know what I mean? All those type of things, right? So there were vertical ghettos designed to isolate, not to integrate. The vertical ghettos, right? The big old damn apartment buildings, right? Look big high and look like a damn square, right? Isolate us. Keep those N-words down. Keep them down. You know what I mean? Keep them down. Keep them away from everybody else. Let's isolate them. Understand me? But you know, as time is going on, though, and if you notice, right, there have been, I'll say within the past 40 years, 50 years, there have started being a lot more successful black people out there that moving all of the Dagon ghetto. You know what I mean? They are. It's coming. Slowly but surely, but it's happening, right? A lot of them are moving out of the hood, you know what I mean? Especially the young kids of today, the younger generation, because they see what their parents are going through. They're like, you know what? I'm not trying to be like that. I want to be better than my dad and mom. I want to be better than my dad, right? I want to be better than my grandparents. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of them are smart, are educating themselves. A lot of them are out there getting trades, you know what I mean? Being mechanics, being welders, HVAC. A lot of them are doing those type of jobs. See what I'm saying? So they want to better themselves and have a better life. So when they have families, they could better off take care of their family too. It's coming. You know what I mean? But slowly but surely. Right? So the ghettos were underfunded, all of that crap, right? So policing, let's talk about policing and over surveillance now. This topic right here sometimes will piss me off, right? So police flooded black neighborhoods under the guise of safety, right? Especially, it started around maybe 60s, maybe around the 60s or time frame, 70s, but around the 80s, though, that's when it started getting worse due to the height of the crack epidemic. How police used to go into over populate these black neighborhoods, right? I remember living in my old neighborhood. You know what I mean? Next thing I know, we used to call them the damn jump out boys, right? But they're basically SWAT team jumping out and arresting these young black boys. You know what I mean? The young black kids who at the time didn't have a chance in hell to really survive. They were just given they were just taking what they was given. You know what I mean? These kids were asked to be born in the hood, and instead of the government trying to create programs to help these young black men and black women, all they did was arrest them. Every little crime, I'm gonna arrest your ass. While the young white kids, same age, while the young white kids get away with a slap on the wrist. Tell me if that's fair or not. You know what I mean? Because we're all still human beings. We all still human beings, man. And these young black kids who had no choice, you know what I'm saying? Mama was on crack. Daddy's a crackhead too. Everybody's on crackhead. Adults. You know what I mean? So these kids have no choice but to start committing crime because that's all they know. Right? Nobody didn't teach them no other way at all. Man, I go on talking about this shit forever. So instead of these people creating stuff for these young black kids, right? They arrest them. You know what I'm saying? Funding for mental health and schools and housing was cut. Think about it, right? I'm telling you right now. I'm talking about it for a second, right? Funding for mental health, schools, and housing was cut. Okay, I had to do this research for one of my classes. So, back in 1963, JFK, before he got assassinated, he created called the Community Mental Health Act of 1963. He created that, right? Because he saw the vision when it comes to mental health, that people are going to need mental health, right? And what they're supposed to do, the federal government, they're supposed to give each community money, to make sure they have their own mental health program. Because every neighborhood is different when it comes to mental health, right? You know what I'm saying? If somebody in Chicago might have their mental health issues, might be different from somebody that live in New Orleans. You see what I'm saying? So the government every neighborhood basically have money, funding to have their own mental health program, and they create their own little program according to their neighborhood, right? And guess what? When Ronald Reagan came in office, the man cut the crap. The mental health program that was helping a lot of black folks. You know what I mean? He cut the nonsense, man. Crazy to me. You know what I mean? And what he did. Right? Imagine if back then black folks, young black children, because a lot of young black kids too, man, not only parents was on crack, you know what I mean? Some of them were getting abused by the parents. You see what I'm saying? Some of them was getting bullied. All that stuff, right? And they could have used some mental health help back then. You know what I mean? Some of these teachers didn't give a damn when it comes to some of these kids. They just write them off. When it comes to these young youth that's trying, that just need a little bit of help. You know what I'm saying? All that crap, right? So the solution was punishment, not investment. So instead of they help the black folks. Instead of they help black people, they punish them. Every little crime, they punish them. Look at the 86 crack laws. Look at the 94 crime bill. Right? Quick to punish black people. While white people the same age, right? You're getting slapped on the damn wrist. Okay, so media stereotypes took hold, right? And the media ain't no better. Right? When Donald Trump said fake news, I don't believe him when it comes to a lot of the media, because I do believe there's a lot of fake news out there, right? So media coverage demonize the ghetto, labeling it violent and lawless. I'm going to tell you something right now. When I was a young kid, watching the news, right? I mean, watching NBC News, excuse me. I always watched Peter Jennings a lot on NBC. and Tom Brokaw. A lot, right? The NBC Nightly News or whatever, right? Or ABC World News. I used to watch all of them on TV at the time, back in the days, right? And they always portray on TV the black neighborhood, how violent the black neighborhood were. And this was in the 80s, right? Especially in California, in LA, right? They always see these black kids getting murdered, right? You know what I'm saying? By each other, by the hands of each other. You know what I'm saying? But they never, never, never show the white neighborhoods too, and the white people killing each other. They never show that. All the show was the black on black crime, black people doing crimes against one another. But never the white on white crime, never on TV. So of course the media too has a part to do with that as well. So these images justified this investment in police brutality, right? So imagine if I'm an investor, like I said, right? And I'm seeing this type of thing on the news. Do you think I'm going to want to invest in that neighborhood? If I see that damn neighborhood violent and stuff like that, why would I spend my money? Huh? You see what I'm saying? And that's what they want, the media coverage. That's what the media people want. Show what's going on in the black hood. You see what I'm saying? Show what's going on so they don't invest in our neighborhood. So, urban renewal, Negro removal. Urban renewal, okay, so as time went on, right, highways and stadiums were built through the heart of the black communities, right? Think about it, highways and stadium. You know what I'm saying? I remember in Maryland, the house that my mother had. Man, I wish she would still have the house but at this time, right? But yeah, a few years later after my mother left the house, because my neighborhood was predominantly black, right? Right on one strip of road, the same road, right? They built a train track right there. They built a train track in Maryland, Riverdale, Maryland, right? They built a train track right there to make it more easier, because I guess the population was getting bigger within that area anyway, so they need more transportation. But you know what I mean? But in that neighborhood, though, right? Of course, they pay the people off, give them money and stuff like that. I don't know how much, but at the time, then government, the state, whatever, the city of Maryland, Riverdale, Maryland. So I'm saying, all of that stuff, though, that happened back in the day, right? Back in the day, freaking highways and stadiums, whatever. Families were displaced without compensation or relocation plan. You know what I'm saying? When I was telling you about those people got money back then, like this was in the 90s. Time was started changing, right? But before then, you know what I'm saying? Family were being displaced without compensation or relocation plans. So imagine, you know what I mean? The government said, I'm going to take your damn house. And there ain't nothing you could do about it. Nothing at all. You just got to move. Hey, isn't that crazy? So think about how many black communities were erased, not improved. So ghettos birth resilience, right? And one thing about black folks, black people are a very resilient group of people. Despite systemic oppression, the ghetto produced jazz, hip hop, and revolutionaries, and soul. So look at how many, great jazz artists over the years, revolutionary people, right? That come on and talk, great talkers, you know what I mean? Look at Fred Hampton. He was a revolutionary from the Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop. Look how many great hip-hop stars came out of the ghetto. It happens, right? Black people are very resilient, right? They tried to contain us, but we created culture that shaped the world. And there's one thing they cannot deny from us, right? Black people create cultures that shape the world today. Because look at what's going on in the world today, even in Africa, even in Jamaica, where I'm from. You know what I'm saying? Haiti. True, if you go to South Korea, I've been in South Korea. although a lot of those young kids act like they want to be black. You know, when I was in there in South Korea, I mean, I'm seeing the young Korean young men. They ain't kids, but they're early 20s at the time. They're maybe late teens, early 20s, right? And these young Koreans had their hair braided, talking slang, you know what I mean? Listening to the hip-hop music, all that stuff. See what I'm saying? Because hip-hop, black people, will shape the world. Okay, now, let's talk about redlining, okay? So redlining and housing discrimination. So, what was redlining, you might ask, right? So redlining is a federal policy that in the 1930s by the Home Loan Corporation, right? So redlining came out in the 1930s. So black neighborhoods were marked in red and labeled hazardous. Redlining. That's what redlining is. Black neighborhood was marked in red and labeled hazardous, right? So the bank would be like, do not lend to these black folks. That's how homeownership was blocked from black people, right? You know, saying black folks trying to get a home loan to buy a house, even in black neighborhoods, and they get denied. No matter how good the credit were, they get denied. Banks denied mortgages to black families, right? Even when, just like I just said, credit-worthy black families were denied loans. The American dream had a white-only sign on it. The American dream has a white-only sign on it. Look what's going on right now if y'all not paying attention in Alabama and Kentucky. These group of white people, right, are creating white-only neighborhood. Now, let's see what's going on. You know what I mean? So suburbs were built for whites only. Federal subsidized help build suburbs, but required racial exclusivity. Okay, so Levittown wasn't just suburban. It was segregated by design. It was segregated by design. So, the effects of redlining, right? Black neighborhoods saw no investment, crumbling schools, and depreciating homes. You know what I mean? Think about it, right? You live in ghetto, you try to sell your little home, right? And the appraiser will lowball you. That has happened a lot when it comes to black people, right? So we were locked in and locked out on purpose. I don't know why. Why they hate black people so much? Why do they hate us so much? When we just want to be left alone and just give us a chance. You know what I mean? Because we as black people, we don't care if you're black or white. You know what I'm saying? We are a very inclusive type of people. We really are. You know what I'm saying? If given a chance. You know what I mean? Trust me, I know a lot of us, black folks, even if you're white, and you need something to eat, we're going to feed you. We're going to make sure you're good. That's how we are, man. Yeah. So, property value tied to race. If a black family move into a white neighborhood, realtors panic and prices drop. Wow. This created fear and justified white flight. So, that was the legacy of redlining, right? School funding, healthcare access, policing and public safety still reflect redlining maps, even to this day, right? School funding. Because if you go inside some of these schools in black neighborhoods, right, then you know what I mean? The funding sucks for these schools, right? They can't have what they need to function greatly, you know what I mean, in some of these schools. So where you live still determines how well you live. This investment became normal. So cities stopped investing in the majority of black communities. Basic services like trash pickup and lighting were denied. Oh, they all the basic services were denied. So the environmental racism redlining zone. So lead paint, think about it, right? Toxic waste, industrial pollution, dumped in black neighborhoods, right? So think about how back in the day, how some of these homes, man, in the poor neighborhoods were built with lead. I had lead paint in them, and some of these family kids was getting sick and asthma and all of that stuff because of the lead, huh? Damn, that's so sad to me. So the wealth gap and home ownership. Generational wealth was built through homes, and we were locked out of that opportunity. Because think about it, man, if you as a grandparent, you have a home, you live in that home for 30 years, and the home is still beautiful, fixed up the home, nice and everything. Now you have a child or so, right? And the child, after you're gone, the child moving that home. Now the child doesn't have to pay no rent, no mortgage or nothing. Because the house that I was paid for, all the things that got paid, the taxes. See what I'm saying? So now, when the child's working now, have a job, the child could either decide to rent the house out or stay there for a while and work and save his or her money. You know what I mean? Without paying all these extra bills, excess bills and stuff like that. Because your mortgage and your rent is your biggest bill out there. So the gap we see today started with redlining. Redlining started this crap, right? So gentrification is the new redlining now. The same neighborhoods they redlined are now being bought, flipped, and renamed. Just like I said about Harlem, New York, what's going on in Harlem right about now. You know what I mean? Black people moved in, white people moved out. Now, they're gentrifying. The same Harlem, New York, right? White people start moving back in. So what they're doing, they're making these rent so damn high that a lot of black people can't afford it. So they're trying to get rid of these black folks, man, from Harlem, New York. And it's going to be all white again. It's going to take some time. So from exclusion to eviction, it's the same system in new clothes, right? Same system in new clothes. So let's talk about gerrymandering, right? So gerrymandering and redistricting. What is redistricting, you might ask? So redistricting is redrawing electoral boundaries every 10 years based on the census, just like I said earlier in this Dagon podcast, right? So redrawing, let me read that again. So redrawing electoral boundaries every 10 years based on the census. In theory, it reflects population change. In reality, it's used to control power, just like the Republicans are doing right now, trying to control power in Texas. And seems like there's nothing nobody could do about it. Right? So what is gerrymandering, you might ask? So gerrymandering is manipulating district boundaries to benefit one part or suppress one community. So packing and cracking are the dirty tools of voter suppression, right? So that is another way that they're trying to suppress your vote, people. Another way they're trying to suppress your black vote. And I'm telling you something, man. That's why our voice needs to be heard, okay? So the purpose behind gerrymandering. So to preserve the status quo and prevent demographic change from shifting power. They pick their voters, not the other way around, right? I'm saying gerrymandering people pick the damn voters, right? Those damn politicians, right? Instead of the people picking their politicians. It's sad to me. So cracking and packing in detail. Cracking spreads minority across districts to weaken their vote. So, another thing, right? Technology makes it worse these days, right? Mapping software lets politicians micro-target with blocks to include or exclude, right? Think about it. They got mapping software today. The courts have failed us, man. The courts don't give a darn about us. They're failing us every day, right? The Supreme Court called partisan gerrymandering legal, even if it hurts voters, right? They don't care. You know what I'm saying? It's called legal, right? Even if the voters hurting, they do not care at all. You know what I'm saying? The Supreme Court is supposed to be non-biased, but right now in today's time, the Supreme Court is very biased. You know what I mean? That's why I believe there should be term limit on the daggone Supreme Court. There shouldn't nobody should ever have a job that serve a damn lifetime. Should have a term limit, and the people should be able to pick who's on this damn Supreme Court, man. That's all I feel. The people should be able to pick that stuff. Not no damn president. Not no president. That's all I feel. All right. So safe seats. Breed extremism. So when districts and are uncompetitive, politicians don't need to listen to everyone. You see what I'm saying? When districts are uncompetitive because they know they're shooing to keep the seat. You see what I'm saying? That's crazy. Now, prison gerrymandering, right? Let's talk about this real quick. So incarcerated people are counted where they're locked up, not where they're from. This boosts white rural districts with black bodies. Crazy, isn't it? Because people in prison, unless they have a felony, people in prison, I do believe, could still vote, right? Unless they have a felony. Somebody could correct me on that. All right, so local redistricting is overlooked, right? School boards, city councils, and state legislators are also redrawn. Right, local maps shape your life more than Congress ever will. Gerrymandering isn't new, but it's more dangerous. This isn't a glitch, it's a strategy, and it's working if we don't push back. And it's working if we don't push back. Now, Texas, right? Talk about Texas real quick. Texas right now want 5 new congressional seats. Texas gained 2 new seats due to population growth, but planning to redraw maps to win 5. That's not math. That's manipulation. Who's being targeted, right? Black and Latino communities in cities like Houston and Dallas are being targeted. Representation is being split and silenced. Houston and Dallas are being cracked apart. Single communities are divided across several rural districts. They won't have a rep who understand their lives, right? Because if you're a white man, you're not going to understand what me as a black man going through if I don't have somebody to represent me. So the legal pushback, civil rights groups are filing lawsuits, but these cases could take years, right? And even so, you know what I'm saying? The Supreme Court, I don't have faith in the Supreme Court that they're going to do the right thing, no matter what. I don't. I ain't got faith in those damn people, right? The Latino vote now is going fast. Texas knows that demographic change is coming, and they're afraid. This is fear politics at its worst, right? They're afraid that the Democrats are going to take the House and the Senate come the midterm. That's why they're doing all this crap. Pay attention, people. Suppression today, power tomorrow. These maps will shape elections for the next decade, man. Think about that. If you don't push back, people, and I need you all, especially in Texas, man, to go there and push back when it comes to these people trying to gerrymander your stuff, right? You have a voice, and your voice needs to be heard. Every time we don't speak up, they go further next time, right? We must draw the line before they redraw ours. Understand me, right? We must draw the damn lines, okay? The power of your vote. Local elections matter. School board judges, mayors, they impact your everyday life. Suppression proves your power, right? If your vote didn't matter, they wouldn't try so hard to suppress it. What you can do right now, register, verify, and show up to meetings. Show up to the town hall meetings, man, right? Support organizations like the ACLU and the NAACP. Hold lawmakers accountable, man. We're going to start holding these lawmakers accountable. You call them, you email them, you testify, you protest, you make noise. You call them, you email them, you testify, you protest, you make noise. You call them, you email them, you testify, you protest, and you make noise, okay? That's how our voices will be heard. You understand me? Stop sitting on the damn sidelines, man. We need to get out there. Get out there and, you know what I'm saying, disrupt their lives. disrupt these damn politician lives because they're disrupting our lives, all right? We need to stop playing the nice guy and stop sitting back. I'm talking to black people. I'm talking to white people. Everybody, okay? Especially for poor. We need to start letting our voices be heard, all right? All right? Know your map. Look up your district, your rep, and election dates. So, we are not powerless. The entire system depends on our apathy. When we stand up, they back down, right? Your vote is your legacy. What do you do today shapes the world your children inherit. Don't just vote for yourself. Vote for the future, right? Think about your children, your grandchildren, all the great stuff, okay? When we go there and we vote, all right? And for that note, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.